We begin in Sudan's capital, Khartoum, where fighting between the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces is in its second week. That is despite both sides committing to a ceasefire over the Eid holiday. These are live pictures of the capital, Khartoum. Many Sudanese are reporting that family members are missing. The UN says more than 400 people have been killed and 3,500 injured. But the toll is believed to be far higher as the confrontations are preventing people from retrieving the victims' bodies left in the streets.
We are suffering of lack of food, lack of electricity, lack of water. We do not have electricity for 3 days now. And also we do not have access to water since Saturday, but we are drinking from wells here in Khartoum, and the situation is still bad.
We are suffering a lot due to the water shortage. All the residents here are suffering from the water issue. We also did not have electricity. We got power back 3 days ago. We were living in darkness. It's not normal. First we didn't have water, and then we didn't have power.
The bus price ticket's nearly $50. Those are incredible prices, and this regular bottle of water costs 500 Sudanese pounds. The conditions here are very bad, very serious.
Well, US President Joe Biden says that American embassy staff and their families have been evacuated from Khartoum. Earlier, two ships carrying staff from Saudi Arabia's embassy arrived in Jeddah. Diplomats from other members of the Gulf Cooperation Council were also on board. France, too, has begun an operation to evacuate its citizens. The United Kingdom, China, Iraq and Jordan say they will all do the same. Meanwhile, more than 150 students from the International University of Africa in Khartoum have arrived in Al-Gadaraf, which is in southeast Sudan. A government source says they're being taken to Addis Ababa, and from there they will be taken back to their home countries. Now, one Nigerian student who is still in Khartoum is pleading for help from her government, saying her situation is dire.
Since there is no electricity, there is no water. I was having some little water left with me. I've been managing the water. I cannot, for 2 days, I can't shower. There is no water to drink. There is no food to drink. You cannot go out to the street to buy food. There is nothing you can buy. And even the cash is not there. These soldiers are roaming about everywhere. And you don't know whether you're going to be the next, because the measles, they're just dropping measles everywhere.
Well, footage on social media has shown destruction at a market in northern Khartoum. Buildings were on fire after intense fighting between the army and rapid support forces. Let's go straight to our correspondent, Hibba Morgan, who is in Khartoum for us. So, Hibba, bring us up to date. What is the situation on the fighting this morning?
Well, it's supposed to be a third day of ceasefire here in the capital, Khartoum, a ceasefire that from the very first day did not hold, with fighting between the two sides and civilians caught up in the middle. Now, in the early hours of Sunday morning, we were able to hear heavy artillery strikes in the northern part of the capital, Khartoum. Residents say that several districts have seen or rather heard that artillery strikes as well. And there's also reports of fighting going on between the rapid support forces and the Sudanese army in the western part of Omdurman. That's the twin city of the capital, Khartoum. Around the vicinity of the presidential palace and the general command, that's the scene of intense fighting between the two sides. There have been sounds of airstrikes by Sudanese army fighter jets, and we were able to hear the sound of surface-to-air missiles as the rapid support forces fired back at those jets. So it looks like this third day of ceasefire is not holding, despite the fact that there was a lull in violence overnight. Fighting has once again resumed in the capital, Khartoum, between the rapid support forces and the Sudanese army.
I just want to point out to our viewers, Hibba, that we are looking at live pictures of the city of Khartoum. You can see the smoke there billowing in the distance, clearly demonstrating that ongoing fighting is going on. And clearly that is a huge worry to a lot of overseas countries who have people and staff members who are based in Khartoum. We've had more evacuations reported by foreign governments in recent hours. Can you bring us up to date with the latest on those foreign governments evacuating their people?
Well, the United States was able to evacuate its diplomats. Those are the embassy staff and their families only. There are still some other U.S. citizens here in the capital who are still caught up in the fighting, and others who are staff of the U.N. mission. Now, the U.N. mission is trying to evacuate via the eastern city of Port Sudan. They took off this morning from the capital, Khartoum, in a convoy, and that's about an 11-hour journey from the capital, Khartoum, to the city of Port Sudan on a good day, without fighting and without any checkpoints in the middle. But that's not the case right now. So it's likely that this journey will take them longer. But there's still other nationals who are also still here in the capital, Khartoum, caught up in the fighting. Their embassy says that they're trying to evacuate them, and they're in the process of coordinating with other allied countries to get their citizens out. Now, the Rapid Support Forces and the Sudanese army both exchange accusations of firing at each other as the French embassy tried to evacuate their personnel from the capital. The French embassy is yet to comment on that, and we're yet to get a statement from them. But it looks like that evacuation is going slower than what the French government would want. But there's still other Sudanese as well who are trapped in this conflict, waiting for a lull in fighting for a few hours so that they too can make their way out of this conflict.
OK, for now, good to talk to you. Hiba Morgan giving us that update in Khartoum. Now, I want to get a little more about why this violence has kicked off in the last week and a half in Khartoum and elsewhere in neighbouring Khartoum, with Hamid Khalafala, who is a researcher and a policy analyst. He joins us now from Khartoum. Before we go into the politics, Mr. Khalafala, tell us about your experience. Of course, you live in Khartoum. What's life been like in the last sort of week and a half as fighting has erupted in your city?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Life has been almost impossible in so many ways. I live very close to the market in Khartoum North that you just reported was burned down yesterday. And obviously that shows you how these fightings are affecting citizens, that they're very close to residential areas, in many cases in the middle of residential areas. We have been waking up and sleeping to the sounds and noises of jet fighters, bombing, shelling, and all sorts of heavy artillery. So it's been quite frightening and unsuccessful in so many ways. But also there's the other side of the fighting or of the war in terms of the day-to-day needs as the water, electricity, food supplies, which are all, in deep shortage, in severe shortage, as you just reported. So it has been very difficult, and I think, you know, the longer this war continues, people will struggle even more in getting food supplies. We have been without water for the past 9 days in our neighborhood. We've had a 5 days electricity cut, then we had it back for a day, then it went out for 2 days, and now it's back again. So it's very difficult to, you know, get about your daily life in such circumstances.
Now, there was this promise of a ceasefire over the Eid holiday, but that hasn't materialized. Today would be day three of that ceasefire if it had indeed happened. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's not come through?
Well, both generals of the Iraqi Support Forces and of the Sudanese Armed Forces were interviewed yesterday by different media channels, and they both accused the other party for not honoring the truce, which I think, in my opinion, only shows that both of them are not really committed towards making any. You know, progress in this situation. They're both not committed and don't have the will to end this fight yet, because in my opinion, one of them wants to gain more ground and have more wins before they can have truce or start talking about negotiations or peace talks or so on. So each one of them is trying to score a little bit more before they can slow things down and start talking about what are the next steps going to be, which could be very dangerous, particularly now that, a lot of the international staff and foreign citizens and so on are getting evacuated, okay. Which is great.
Sorry to interrupt. I want to know what you think is the end game here for those two rival generals. What is it that they want?
Well, this is primarily a struggle over power. So one of them needs to win so that he could claim power. This is how they see it from both ends. And ultimately, they have no problem, in my opinion, sacrificing whatever it takes, like compromising or jeopardizing the security of the whole country, lives of citizens, infrastructure being destroyed, and so on. They have even their own troops, in my opinion. I don't think they would mind sacrificing them to win power. So I think, for as they stand now, the ultimate game for them is to see which one would win power. But that, I think, is not without opportunities and openings to stop them from going there. Everything that they do is in coordination and in communication with their regional allies, which the international community could use to leverage this leverage to stop these generals from continuing this power struggle.
Okay, really good to get your perspective. Mr. Hamid Khalafala, a research and policy analyst based there in Khartoum. Stay safe, sir.
Thank you.
More than 10,000 people have fled the fighting in Sudan and crossed into neighbouring Chad. The World Food Programme says that number could rise to 100,000. The refugees are in dire need of essentials, including food, clean water and shelter.